You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, your community radio station, island-wide on Kauai.
On both 90.9 and 91.9, as well as on the internet at kkcr.org. If you happen to miss it tonight, you can stream it down tomorrow. It'll be available in the archives. I'm Rory Enright. I'm the general manager for Princeville. I got tagged for being the moderator for this evening. So I'm the one, when I mispronounce names or whatever along the way, you can give me a bad time. You don't keep it all on time. You can criticize me. But we got a great evening tonight that's going to be packed given the number of candidates. This forum has been organized both a joint effort between the Chamber of Commerce as well as the Princeville Community Association. And I'd particularly like to thank Randy from the Chamber and Michelle and Chastity who have helped organize it and put it all together. Wave. So the process of this forum began earlier this evening. The state representatives chose a number which will determine the order in which we ask questions. We will be basically rotating back and forth. They will be answering the same question. So the first 45 minutes will be dedicated to the state representative District 14 forum. Then the rest of the evening will be for the county council forum. And in preparation for the full house, we want to get as many people out here. I've asked the candidates for the county council to come sit, but that's all they'll do for the first 40 minutes is sit and relax and take a load off and tell us their turn to tell us their thoughts. But please, as you see other candidates come in the back, please let them know that that's where we want them to be, is sitting up their seat at the front table. just a little bit of this format. I know that some forums are open field and a lot of questions to the audience. Unfortunately, because the number of people in this election, that's almost impossible to do. So these are all questions that were put together by the organizers and submitted by people in the community. They're based on a wide variety of interests and topics. They're pretty interesting and cover an interesting scope of things. I think the candidates will find it interesting to answer them. For the state representatives, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to introduce themselves, followed by a series of 6 questions and answers, and then they'll have a 2-minute to answer each question. At the end of the question session, they will have 2 minutes to make a closing statement, closing remarks. We have our esteemed timers here, Michelle and Chastity, who will let the candidates know where they are in their time limit. So we have a 1-minute warning, a 30-second warning, and a time's up warning. And we have to have announcements during the night. A beige Toyota, your car was just sold. And, your lights are on. Can you get by me safely? Okay. So, candidates for District 14. I'd like to invite you, number one, to introduce yourself first.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jonathan Homanovnu. I want to thank you for coming out today, and I want to thank the Kauai Chamber of Commerce also. And I want to thank Heavenly Father for bringing all of us here safely. My mom is sitting right there, and she stems from a family that comes from Kalalau Valley, who migrated across to the Wainiha and Haena area. I have a beautiful wife that I've been married to for 30 years. She's standing back there. Thank you for joining us here today. I have a wonderful son that God provided. He's 20 years old now and he's trying to follow in his dad's footsteps by getting educated somewhere else in the States and then coming back home and probably work for the DLNR. I just want to share with you 2 things, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a veteran of foreign wars, and I know you should be concerned with these 2 things. One of them is the education system. What we want to do is restore the leadership so that that leader, that principal, can revise the curriculum and meet the students' needs specifically. The second thing we need to be concerned about is our taxes. We need tax reform. We need to efficiently and effectively use that accounts, both accounts. As a matter of fact, you got the special funds account and the general funds accounts, which is pulled together. But what we need is we need to keep these guys accountable. And if the state continues to run in this direction, what's going to happen in the next 2 years? You can trust that we'll be in the red in 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and mahalo.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Derek Kawakami, State Representative. I'm the Assistant Majority Leader of the House and the current CPC Vice Chair, second largest committee in the House. I'd like to introduce my mom and dad. I don't know why they insist on coming. They always make me so nervous. Of course, my wife, Monica, and I want to thank my wife for letting me do this. It's a passion, and unless you got that family support, it's very hard to do. I'm the father of four, two little human beings and two dogs. And I hope they're all behaving, and if they're listening on the radio, hi, kids. Anyway, I'm very honored to be here. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day, small time out of your day. I know it's precious time, but to be here with all of us is truly an honor. In 2006, I was elected to the KIEC Board of Directors, where I served as second vice chair and also the chair of the Strategic Planning Committee, the committee that set the goal of 50% renewables, which is above and beyond the state's expectations. 2008, I was elected to the Kauai County Council, and in 2010, I was re-elected. In 2011, we were fortunate enough to have been appointed by Governor Abercrombie to fill the seat that was vacated by our former rep, Rep. Marita, as she took on the chair of the PUC. So we had some big shoes to fill. I feel that we hit the ground running. We were able to bring a lot of resources back to Kauai, back to the 14th District. And so it's just an honor to be able to serve you. Thank you so much for being here. Aloha.
Thank you. So we'll get right to it. The first is a question will be asked of Representative Kawakami. And here's the question. Since we're on the North Shore, please share examples of ways you have been involved with or supported the North Shore community.
Thank you, Rory, for the question. That's an excellent question. I think from my time at the County Council, we've always fought for resources for the North Shore, but specifically in the State House, we did things like protect our lifeguards down at KA Beach. KA Beach is a county beach park. It's a state beach park that's protected by county lifeguards, and their indemnification is constantly coming up for that sunset approval, which means if they don't get indemnified from lawsuits, we risk losing those lifeguards at KA Beach, and we fought hard and diligently. The other thing we did for our lifeguards out there, and not just for the 14th District, for the whole island, and we really champion, our office is really champion protecting those that protect us, and those lifeguards, they protect our KKR and Kupuna. We created a separate bargaining unit. They were bucketed in with white-collar workers as far as the HGA bargaining unit. We carved out a specific bargaining unit so that they can go and negotiate for the specific needs that they need. The other thing we did is work very closely with people like Auntie Maka'ala on protecting and preserving the whole sense of place for the North Shore, specifically for the bridges, specifically for protecting our watershed protection, specifically to create that sense of place that makes the North Shore so special. We've invested in our schools, Kilauea Elementary. We're able to get some CIP money so you can take that old cafeteria and refurbish it into new class or new administrative space and open up classrooms. So, great question. It's been fun to work for the North Shore. It's been even more rewarding to be able to bring back some important resources for the North Shore. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ho Manaunui. Same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
No, I'm fine with that. On a larger scale, I serve the community. As a veteran of foreign wars, I went away to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Secondly, I went away to defend the borders of the United States of America. That's a larger scale picture for me. That's how I serve the community. On a local scale, here at the local level, I am a liquor control officer for the island of Kauai, and I serve the community every evening by working for the community. Third, I work with my mom and I contribute down at the Waipa Foundation It's a sustainable organization that produces vegetables, fruits, piggery. They got everything down there. We do the poi thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, I continue to serve you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Second question. As the population increases on the North Shore, the need for more local medical and educational facilities becomes apparent. There are efforts to create emergency care as well as middle and high school facilities on the North Shore. Would you support these efforts? And if so, how would you suggest they be funded? Mr. Hoho Manavanui.
You see, that brings back the question about KVMH and brings back the question about the Mahelona Hospital. State-funded hospitals. There's two on this island, one in Waimea and one there. And right now, in 2013, they allotted from the special funds for the public hospitals $7 million to keep that operation alive. However, I'm back on the taxes again because now they're going to look at other areas to get money from, and that is the people. We got to work collectively with the community. But we, as taxpayers, deserve these kinds of services. I mean, I got an auntie in there. I got family in there. What's going to happen? They just made some layoffs. I mean, on the 20th or 21st, I read the newspaper. They're laying off. What comes after layoff, ladies and gentlemen? Closure. Mahalo. Thank you. How would I help that place? We got to find other alternatives. I signed a tax for the United States of America, reform, pledging that I'll never raise taxes as long as I am in office, which will allow me and force me to look for other alternatives and look for other options. Mahalo again.
Thank you. Just a note, please hold your applause. It interferes with the radio. So I know that's hard. You want to applaud the candidates, but please just nod and smile. Representative Kawakami, same question.
Thank you for the question. I think as far as the educational aspect, one thing that we should be looking at is investing in our early education. There is a ballot initiative. I'd like to clarify that nothing in this ballot initiative provides any funding. It creates no policy framework. All it does is begin the discussion. Should we be allowed to invest in early education? If that measure should pass, we still got to create the policy through the legislature. We still need to appropriate funds. All this is open the door for the discussion. Do we want to continue failing our children? 40% of our kids, our youngsters in Kauai, more than almost half of the kids in the state of Hawaii cannot afford to go to preschool. We are failing them. So this ballot initiative is very important. All it does is open the door. As far as on the medical side, you're absolutely right. We're trying to save Mahelona Hospital. We're trying to save KVMH. If you live on the North Shore, those hospitals are critical to your quality of life. Without those hospitals, without that emergency room, could you imagine having to drive all the way into Wilcox? And yes, there are solutions beyond taxation. I was the one to introduce a bill to create a master plan. We're taking a look at the campus at Mahelona, which is already in an urban area. It already has development. You already have mass transit. You already have a bike path that curves its way up there. You already have businesses. We should be looking at that land asset and seeing what are the community needs. We have a lack of assisted living facilities. We have a lack of affordable housing. If we can partner up with the private sector to create some of these developments, Mahelona Hospital could be a land manager. Some of that revenue from rent and lease can go back into the operations to continue that long-term sustainability plan for our two state hospitals. Thank you.
Thank you. Number three, since 2011, the state has capped the amount of the transient accommodations tax, the TAT funds, that are returned to the counties at $103 million. The counties want to see this cap removed and the amount shared with the counties returned to the prior 48.8% used from 1998 to 2010. This would help the county budget significantly. Are you in favor of removing this cap? If so, why? If not, why not?
Thank you, Ari. Is this a question for me? I go over bouncing back.
You're right on order.
Thank you. So for the TAT tax, when I was on the county council and as a president of HSAC, the Hawaii State Association of Counties, I always lobbied hard for the county to be able to get their full fair share of the TAT, because every time a tourist comes here and flushes their toilet, that's the county sewer system, that's county water. Every time a lifeguard's got to go save somebody and rescue them, that's county resources going to support our visitor industry. And even in the legislature to this day, I've supported removing that cap. In fact, we signed off on a bill to do just that. But I got to be completely honest with you. We went through the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The state went from going to cutting their budget with a scalpel to taking out a hatchet. We cut schools funding. We cut public safety. And so while we're trying to restore those funding mechanisms for those essential services, we're hit with unexpected downturns in the economy. We base our budget on the council revenues forecast. And even though we might have a sunny outlook one day, if that forecast comes in and that upgrade downgrades, that puts a monkey wrench in our budgeting. So although I support giving back that TET to the counties, we're just asking the counties to please be patient. We're trying to restore core services. People have complained about our highways. It's that balancing act that we're trying to strike that right balance. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hall, Manavanui.
Right now, the transit accommodations taxes sit at 9.25%. I don't support that. We need to be patient. We need to reorganize. We need to manage that taxes properly. Because tourism is one of the biggest industries for Hawaii. We depend on those tourists. Every time we raise those taxes, it only opens the door for everything else. So because I'm a guy that likes alternatives and options, I don't defend, I don't support that as far as county having the opportunity to get a hold of that and then start raising these taxes. Secondly, the special funds, again, I'm going back and forth with this. That special funds is allocated for public highways, for public schools, for public hospitals, etc. We need to reorganize that, ladies and gentlemen, and get the audits in place. I plan to implement this, a private auditor, to look into the state's funding and budget management department. Very, very crucial. Talk about crucial and critical. It is. It is mine and your tax dollars. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, that is being mismanaged. And if we don't curb this or curtail this, we could find ourselves in deeper and deeper and deeper trouble. Mahalo.
Thank you. Question number 4. The State Department of Health has recently introduced proposed rules prohibiting the installation of new cesspools and requiring connections or upgrades of existing cesspools to septic systems within 180 days after sale of property. Do you agree with these proposals, and how do you suggest we best balance the desire to protect our environment with the financial burden these potential new laws may cause? Mr. Holman, I'll get it right one of these.
Yes, no problem, sir. I kind of did some research on this because the last forum I had, I didn't have expertise in there. But what they plan to do is to take all the 12,000 or 14,000 cesspools already on this island that is at every residence here, 14,000 of them, I know. And so what they're trying to do here is they're trying to change that and make you get this septic system, okay? That's all. What they want to do is have everybody. But the real question behind that is, what about the seller and what about the buyer? Yes, what about the seller and the buyer? Are they going to negotiate that in the selling price? What, $20,000 extra? And I'm squeezing in this economy every tax dollars I get to save to buy me a house? We need to rethink this, ladies and gentlemen. We need to rethink this. Slow down. Slow down, because everything's on the table right now. They're waiting for these old guys to get back inside. And all in favor? Aye. Okay, it's already on the table. Already ready to be approved. Tax increases is coming. 30%. How about that one? 30% eventually. It's going to run us broke, ladies and gentlemen. How would we correct that? Yes, as long as they in compliance with the state laws, I'm okay with that question. But the real question is, what about the seller and the buyer? What does he do? He sells the house, and what? Does he tack on the $30,000 to that million-dollar house? Or does the buyer negotiate? It's all about that. But I do support that because if it's in compliance with the state laws, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I'm all for it. Okay, thank you. Mahalo.
Thank you. Representative Kawakami.
Thank you. You know, cesspools are a very archaic way of treating our sewage. And, you know, these questions do arise. What's the impact? What's the economic impact? But what's the impact on our environment? What's the impact on our oceans? Every time the sewage leaks out into our oceans where our kids swim, what's the impact on our coral reefs? What's the impact on the life on the coral reefs that a fisherman enjoy using so much? So there's ways to curb the economic impact on having to retrofit your system. We just got to get creative, and we got to go crunch those numbers and see what's available. We did that with the photovoltaic industry. And I tell you why. If you want to promote good behavior, you create incentives. If you want people to look for loopholes, you regulate and you mandate it. So I'm a big fan of incentives. What we did for the photovoltaic industry, what we did to move people towards energy sustainability is we created a tax credit. Does anybody here have photovoltaic solar cells on? So you were beneficiaries of an incentive to promote you guys to move in the right direction. I feel that with this new rules, we can take a look at the books. We can go look at the numbers to see what's available to create some kind of tax incentive on a sliding scale based on income and your ability to pay so that it's equitable and it's fair. But I think that eventually we are going to have to move away from cesspools. The data and the fact of how it impacts our environment is profound. Thank you.
Thank you. Question number five. Last year, the county council passed Ordinance 960, dubbed the Pesticide and GMO Law. Many supported the ordinance because they didn't believe that the state and federal governments were doing their job in this area. Do you agree? And if so, what should the state and federal government do better?
Well, what we did on the legislative side is we sat down, and this is how we try to do business on the state side. We sat down with some of the companies. We sat down with the governor because we saw a community being divided, and we couldn't just sit on the side because it is a state and federal job. And have we failed? We have failed. We failed because we made budget cuts to essential services that we're now trying to restore. And these are the things that happen. So when people say we don't want taxation, it's hard because you tell me what services you want to cut. So we had to cut pesticide inspectors. So what we did is we sat down with these companies, we took a look at the specific bill, and we told them, look, these are the components of the bill. We got to get to some place so we can start healing this community. What's the big deal about buffer zones? What's the big deal about disclosure? So they came up with the Good Neighbor Program, which is voluntary. Granted, it's not mandated, but every one of those companies said, we will voluntarily participate in disclosing and creating buffer zones around our schools, hospitals, and libraries. So I think that the essence of the bill had its good intent, but what was being argued is it the jurisdiction of the county to take on this role? And it wasn't. And it's in the courts. So on the state side, we're doing what we can do to restore funding to pesticide inspectors. We just recently jumped in on 50% for this joint fact-finding thing that'll take a look at the impacts of the agricultural operations out on the west side and its impact on the neighborhoods. So thank you.
Thank you.
This is a very touchy subject. I believe everybody should be aware of what they're putting in their mouth. I know everybody can tell you, oh, yeah, we've been eating potato chips, potatoes and that. But you know what? Just comply. First of all, the United States Department of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is the authorizing agency. They have the power to mandate and control all of this. However, the Hawaii Agriculture Department also is supposed to be taking care of all this. And yes, Derek did say it right. The county didn't have no authority, and when they went in and this. And that's the kind of stuff, see? That's the kind of stuff we got to think. We got to bring research to the table before we talk. We got to bring that research to the table. Gather that statistics. Gather that information. Gather that data. Do your homework. Okay? Time and time again, ladies and gentlemen, time and time again, we're just frustrated and tired of mismanaging funds. It's our taxpayers' dollars again. Our taxpayers' dollars. We're all middle class over here. And guess what? There was a president, Ronald Reagan, said it's not about the far left wing or the far right wing guy. It's about the top and the bottom, which eliminates the middle class. Anybody driving Cadillacs in here? Struggling with paying your house rent out here? Property taxes? Huh? My family own land over here. They're going to move us off our land. You off your land. Out of your house. Out of your house. Turn around. Government going to purchase the house, re-rent them back to you, and sell it back to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to rethink this issue. It is about the taxes. And he's telling the truth, too. The county had no responsibility. None. I say this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Question number six. What is your opinion regarding the marijuana distribution centers in Hawaii? Mr. Ho, Benevin.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you got a health issue, this is where I stand on it. If you got a health issue, then issue the marijuana. As long as it's provided by a physician. Okay, we're talking about life or death situation. Some people need that. It's medicine. Provide that. Secondly, make sure the mandates and the policies are in place before we do something. Make sure it's in place. Bring that research to the table again. Bring that statistics. Bring that data. Mahalo.
Thank you. You know, Hawaii has a medical marijuana law. What we don't have is a way for these patients that are suffering to be able to get their medicine. In their eyes, it's medicine. And if you ask me, and I've seen people dying from cancer, and that's the only thing that provides them with comfort. And now you got a pharmaceutical industry that's got kids hooked on pills, but you can easily get them from the doctor's office, any pharmacy. What we need to do is take a look at creating that framework and looking at other states and what's working and what's not working, because there's two sides to that coin. There are certainly some things that are working in states, and there are certainly some unintended consequences in some of these states as far as where these dispensaries are located, how they're being managed, how the employees are being trained. I really feel that we should take a look at creating, and I'm glad that Jonathan works for liquor control, because right now the way that we regulate liquors would be a great model for how we could manage dispensary of medical marijuana. And even if it gets to the case of recreational marijuana, and I'm not going to sugarcoat everything. I'm going to give you guys a straight talk. Will recreational marijuana come up on the legislature? It will. It has. And the reason why it has is because it's sweeping across the state. We're looking at the numbers of people that are getting imprisoned, nonviolent first offenders, and what the impact is. And a lot of these people that are getting imprisoned is due to marijuana. But specifically for the medical marijuana, you create a commission. You create parameters, fines, and penalties. You can flush that market to the surface where government can oversee it. They can regulate, and they can set those parameters of which the operation must operate within. You know, it's a touchy subject. Like I said, there's no reason for us to rewrite the history book on this. There are other states that are is working just fine. People that are suffering are able to get their medication in a safe and fair way. Thank you.
Thank you. Our candidates have been so efficient in answering the questions, we actually have some time for bonus questions. So I've got a few more, if that's okay, with the attendees, that I'm going to continue with representative candidates for two or three more questions, and then we'll shift over to the county council candidates. So this would be yourself, a representative of Kaua County. Would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai? If so, why? And how would you avoid the problems of the prior efforts?
All right, this question came up, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a political season, it's campaigning, so you have candidates out there that are beating the drum of the Super Ferry. I can tell you what, does Hawaii need an alternative form of transportation between islands? We absolutely do. Is it the Super Ferry? Not at the back of taxpayer dollars. We invested millions and millions of dollars for infrastructure that all went to waste because we didn't take the correct steps. And that infrastructure is nearly gone, if I believe. Oh. And so to recreate the wheel and go back down that route, and I know a lot of people are a fan of the Super Ferry, but the cost to the state and even the business model was unproven. When we took a look at the data, and I know a lot of people have criticized Hawaiian Airlines, but when we met with the CEO, Dunkerley, and he broke down what their profit margin is. At the end of the day, a full flight makes money only on three seats. And that's the reality of it. So people are saying they're making tons of money off of the airfare they charge us. Not necessarily true. Where they're making their money is on baggage fees, change flights. Yes. Now, when we further forensically take a look at our transportation system in Hawaii, we notice that we're not big enough. The population, the amount of air travelers is not big enough to sustain two full-blown airlines. So whether a Southwest or another competitor will come into the market remains to be seen. Do we need an alternative? Absolutely. Is it going to be in the form of two large commercial scale airlines? I'm not too sure. But as far as a super ferry, look, guys, we invested so much money in the infrastructure. That failed. They would have to come to us and prove to us that their business model would be solvent, and not only that, that they would take care of the concerns of the community as far as its environmental impact, and also for all the unintended consequences that could come with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ho'o Manawanui.
You see, politicians have a tendency to run with the populace, which leaves the administrators behind. And this is what it caused. With the pre-planning not all in place, we're not working collectively with everybody in place, creating synergy, getting everybody involved collectively. We're going to have failures like this, ladies and gentlemen. However, I do support that. And the reason for that is either you bring that in or we bring another airline carrier in. We create that competition. You're probably thinking, wow, Jonathan, what, we're going to spend taxes again? You guys been spending them forever. Okay? So no blame us. But in the long run, the longevity of things, that's what counts. You see, making good decisions. So I do support that because Hawaiian Airlines is monopolizing the airfares. I tell you how. You go online right now, you sign in, you go and you look at the price of this. Okay, call my wife. Are you coming back from the mainland? Go like that, go like this, go like that. Coming back from the mainland? Yeah, okay, wait, let me wait. Okay, no, tomorrow. So I go back, I book down and I go, okay, I didn't pay for it yet. Let me come back. Okay, let's discuss it. We talk again. Oh, no, I want to come on this time. Oh, back to the other day. Okay, go back there. You know that price is gone? Do you know that price is gone? There's something. There's an analyst on the other end looking and monitoring all these things. It's business. It's called big business, ladies and gentlemen. However, getting back to the question, I do support that. It's either that or create competition so that they can get their act together. Mahalo.
Thank you. Question number 8. Do you support the military's presence at PMRF, Barking Sands? If yes, what will you do to ensure that it is a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why. Mr. O'o Manawanui.
PMRF, yes. I defended the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm a veteran of foreign wars. Easy question. Simple. We need that Missile Defense Center. You got all these worlds out there that's trying to come in and take over. We need those guys. However, I don't know if they're sitting in the right place up. Land and property, and we got discussions going on, and it's been going on for years with the other faction of the Hawaiian people. Maybe they could go up Koke someplace and use the state property. Right? That's where decision makers come in. Guys like us, me and Derek, leadership. We supposed to persuade. We supposed to lead it and convince stakeholders to believe in our direction. That's the key here, ladies and gentlemen. However, I do support the military. How would I better that? I don't know right now. And let me get in and I'll show you how. Then it forces me to do some research. You provide the questions and I answer the questions. You're going to force me to put my capacity, to put my master's degree down on the line for you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Mahalo.
Thank you. Representative Kawakami.
Thank you. I absolutely support PMRF for a number of reasons. One of them, with increasing threats from Asia, the Middle East, and from every corner of the world, what PMRF does is provide a shield of protection. And let me reiterate that it is a defensive missile base. So not for the offensive, to provide a shield of protection for the Pacific Rim, for the United States of America. But for me, more importantly, what it does is it creates a lot of local jobs. I can tell you that it's one of the biggest employers on the island. And when we take a look at diversifying our economy, Of course, we realize that tourism is the foundation. A lot of our tax generation and revenue comes from tourism. But when we take a look at being more economically sustainable, we have identified a few clusters as far as diversifying our economy. We want to invest in health and wellness. We want to invest in arts and culture, sports and recreation. I tell you, when the Kauai Marathon comes in town, if you don't tell me that's an economic impact on our local mom and pops, my gosh, I can show you the numbers. But for PMRF, one of the main things they do is they really boost the sector of high technology. And I can tell you, high technology, computer science is one of those fields where our kids are interested in. Many of our kids are studying computer science. That's the wave of the future. And a lot of these kids that are moving and getting their education out there in San Jose and Silicon Valley, they want to come back to Kauai. And it's companies and it's people and organizations like PMRF that really create the job structure for those kids to be able to return back home. What would I do to ensure that we can maintain that relationship? Well, the first thing that we do is we make sure they're good neighbors. We make sure that they're positive for the community. When we had our commanders come in, Captain Mangiello, and now with Captain Hay coming in, they reestablished that relationship with the community. They reopened the base for 4th of July celebration. They've created ways for access. They've been a part of our community. They're at all of the community functions volunteering. So that's one of the things we can do as leaders is to hold them accountable, make sure they're behaving off of that base, and make sure they're good neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Last one for the state representative candidates. Our island has a diverse economy, and we have to ensure that it remains viable and diverse. Aside from agriculture, our hospitality industry has been one of the largest contributing industries to our economy. How do we ensure that we continue being a friendly garden island to our visitors, but also share with them what is historically, environmentally, and culturally important? Mr. Kawakami.
Thank you for the question, and it's absolutely a true statement. The visitor industry has a profound impact on our economy and our quality of life. What can we do to support that? I can tell you that every time we reinvest in our schools, every time we reinvest in our highways, and every time we reinvest in our public safety and we create this Kauai that we all know and love and maintain that, we are supporting our visitor industry. People come here because of our natural beauty. And we've got to do everything we can to preserve that. And that means when we are developing, we should be looking at developing in areas that are appropriate. We should be creating density bonuses for developers that want to develop in already urbanized areas such as Lihue so we can protect our open spaces that we hold near and dear to our hearts. When we're taking a look at our school system, we should be looking at reinvesting into our kids so that they can go and get an education, so they can come home and take some management positions that are available. I can tell you, when we're investing in our parks, we've got to make sure that we're providing the best possible facilities, because at the end of the day, these tourists go home, and when they're talking to their folks and they're saying Kauai is the most beautiful place in the face of the earth, there's going to be two or three more of their friends coming. Now, folks, that is a true statement, but I got to tell you, the importance of diversifying economy, like I said, and focusing on those clusters is so profound at this time. Every time we're impacted by a natural disaster, every time we're impacted by the fall of an economy in another country, those visitor arrivals, they go down. And their impact on our budgeting and that council revenue forecast that I told you, is just it makes a tremendous impact on how we can budget the services, the resources, and CIP dollars that we can provide for our district. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me reread it for you. It was a long one. Our island has a diverse economy, and we have to ensure that it remains viable and diverse. Aside from agriculture, our hospitality industry has been one of the largest contributing industries to our economy. How do we ensure that we continue being a friendly garden island to our visitors, but also share with them what is historically, environmentally, and culturally important?
Exactly. We talked about this already. The tourism industry plays a major part in keeping us alive here. The tourism industry, ladies and gentlemen, plays a major part in keeping our economy alive. Right now, we sit at 9.25%, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine what will happen to that tourism industry if we were to raise that 9.25%? We're 75% short of the 10%. Could you imagine what would happen? Your hard-earned dollars way in the mainland, wanting to come home, getting taxed for this, taxed for fuel, tax for your rental car, tax for your hotel, tax for this, tax for that, tax, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We need to preserve that. He is right. We have a culture that is unique compared to the world, especially the island of Kauai, the Garden Isle. It makes sense. It's not the No Kauai Island. It's not the big island over there. It's the Garden Isle, the oldest island of all the chains of Hawaii. We need to preserve that. Preserve the culture, ladies and gentlemen. But how are we going to do that? By charging them more money? You're talking billions of dollars. Percentage out of your checks, tourists. You're talking about billions of dollars. Let's not misspend that. Let's slow down. Take a look at everything. Get the audits in place so we can preserve the island of Kauai. Mahalo.
Thank you. That concludes the questions we have for the State House Representatives, District 14 candidates. Now, each candidate will have 2 minutes for closing remarks, and we'll begin with Mr. Ho'omanawanui.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for coming here tonight. Don't misunderstand me. I'm actually a nice guy, but I serve in the military. If you want to know about federal government and serving, everything is track. Every detail. You polish your shoes. If it's not up to standards, you cannot pass the inspection. If you take one of your ribbons and you put it just a 16th of an inch off, you don't pass the inspection. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about you. It's not about the red and the blue anymore. It's all about you. And what I have to offer you, ladies and gentlemen, is the new paradigm of leadership, which is called the transactional style of leadership. One, we care about your emotions. Two, we care about your values. Three, we care about your ethics. Four, we care about your standards. Last but not least, I care about your long-term goals. Mahalo, and thank you for coming tonight. Aloha.
Thank you. Mr. Kawakami.
First off, I want to thank you all again for being out here tonight. I know it's a busy night, but thank you for being a part of this process. It's the last forum of this political season. I want to thank all the candidates for making the time to come out here. I want to thank Jonathan's mom. I saw Auntie Honey Girl here, and I saw Jonathan's wife. You know, we've been doing this enough to know that it's a huge impact on you and your stress level. I try to tell my mom and dad guys not to come because I know I'm pretty sure I put some years on their life. But I want to thank you guys for allowing him to do this. I want to thank my opponent, Jonathan, for his service to our country. It's noble. And I tip my hat off to him. I just want to say that it's been an honor and privilege to be able to serve this community. And not just since 2006. From the very beginning through Big Save and HS Kawakami, we've always made it a point to give back to the community, whether it was through Easter egg hunts, whether it's through creating golf tournaments to provide funding to hospice or the Boys and Girls Club or Special Olympics. It's just always been a calling. It's something that's been instilled in me that we always need to give back to the community that has given us so much. I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity. I'm 37 years old. I have a lot of energy. This is a passion. It ain't a job. I love everything about it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. When things are stressful, I really thrive on it. And so I really look forward to serving you continually. I'm humbly asking for your vote for State House District Rep 14. And I want to thank you guys for coming out, spending some time with us. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Now we can applaud. We're going to take just a 3-minute break.